Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're live tonight, right before Easter. This is March the 29th,
right.
2013. And this weekend will be Easter. So I guess everybody out there is getting ready for the little Easter bunny and the Easter eggs. Okay. We don't have any guests tonight. So if anyone wants to call in, they can. We're going to go over some questions that have been sent to us over the internet. I get tons of emails, and there's no way I can possibly answer them all. But some of them, people have questions, and we decided, well, we'll pull out some and try to answer them on the air. Now, some of them may be a little controversial, so if you want to chime in and call in and give your opinion, we welcome that. We're just going to say what we think is the answer according to what our research has found. Okay, so if anybody wants to call in, the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Okay, and Julia's here.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of this tickle in my throat. Julia's here, and she's going to be helping with some of these things.
Do my best.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, you know, a lot of these people say they're really understanding a lot of this, but then they do have some questions that they have problems with, according to what I've written about, and what we're getting in the classes and what we're teaching and everything. Okay. Well, this is one that came in. If we all agreed to be here to learn the lessons in the school called Earth, and you know that's what I've called it many times, you're here in this school to learn. If we all agreed to be here to learn the lessons in the school called Earth, what were the starving children in Africa thinking? What about women and children that are born into countries that are sold as sex slaves and raped? What I'm asking is, why would somebody choose a situation where they have no choice and where emotional and spiritual growth is not possible? Well, that's a good one. We hit that a lot.
You yeah, but you know, that, well, but there's a judgment made there.
Yeah.
From that point of view, you're saying there's no spiritual or emotional growth available. How do you know?
What they're learning? Well, I guess they figure some of the children that starved to death, that they wouldn't have a chance to learn anything. But we have to remember, they're not children. They are souls.
Exactly. And we have to remember, this is for the experience. You know, we don't know what that soul... I mean, there's soul growth going on here. That soul wanted an experience, and for some reason, whatever, it wanted that experience.
Well, we found out, too, in my work, you can't judge by just one life.
Exactly.
We have a lot of people talking about how miserable their lives are. I get that all the time with my clients. But you can't judge by just one life. You have to look at the bigger picture. We've had hundreds of lives. And we don't know what that soul learned, had in the other life that they're trying to correct in this lifetime.
Right.
And when somebody is starving to death, I found many, many times that in other lives, they may have caused other people to starve. What goes around comes around. That's what we call the karmic wheel. Everything has to be repaid in one way or the other. You don't get out of anything. So it's not necessarily something you did in this lifetime, but maybe in another lifetime. And they might have chose, well, one way to pay for it is to go back and experience the same thing that they caused others to experience.
Right.
And this goes along with, they said, the women being raped and sex slaves. You don't know what they did in another life. It never seems fair because they're innocent in this lifetime. But what you don't see the bigger picture of what happened in the other lifetimes before that. And we've had them in my sessions when they're on the spirit side, talking to their guides and the council, they're going over all these possible scenarios they can have the next time they come around, which is this life. And they're showing, okay, now do you want this one? Or do you want to do that one? And sometimes they'll say, well, I don't want to be an Eskimo. I'll think I'll do this one, and I don't think I want to be a soldier this time, or a businessman. And they're analyzing it and trying to figure out what they're going to learn, and all the people involved are people that you were involved with in another lifetime, make your contracts. And they're going over all the possible scenarios. But I had one that laughed, and he said, oh, it doesn't make any difference anyway. I have to do them all.
Eventually.
It's just a matter of what order do I want to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may pick one that they want to get rid of, get that part out of the way so they can progress faster. So it may not seem fair, but you do have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing, like we talk about the starving children in countries and things, and there's another aspect to that. It's like what I'm seeing is like they're a tiny cog in a much bigger picture. Remember, sometimes these situations go on to teach us things, and a lot of times we raise our consciousness based on some situations that are happening. So these souls probably volunteered, or, you know, they said, I will be this part of it so you may grow. You know, so they're almost sacrificing themselves, but they're doing whatever they need. They're getting their growth, but it's also to help you, because if you're noticing them and you're emotionally involved in what's going on, then it's having an effect on you. So then there, that was a different purpose.
Yeah, because it's not necessarily that they were doing negative things in another life. They just decided, well, like sacrificing themselves,
right.
Or like to show or to teach other people, I will play this part this time.
Right. You can learn.
And if it's done in group settings, sometimes people learn more that way.
Right. So that's why it's so hard to know from this plane. That's why I say don't judge, because we don't have the big picture from this perspective. We can't see it.
Well, it's one thing to see one starving person in, like, in America, you know, in the city or something. But when you see a whole groups of people, then that does have more of an effect.
Right.
And they'll come in and say, well, I'll do this for a while to learn from and to teach others. And then when I die, I'll go on with the rest of my growth, whatever I'm supposed to do next.
Right. And it's not saying starving people is okay. It's just saying that was a choice that was made there. And if you can do something about it to help, wonderful, then that must be why it's in your world. But if you're going to just, why, you know, get all down about it and get all, what about our God? Why would God allow this and things like that? This is that answer. It's this soul chose that. So it's a much, much bigger and broader picture that you have to look at.
Yeah. So that is a biggie, and I can see how that would bother some people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get the same questions from many people. This one here had a whole bunch of questions, and a lot of them I've already covered on other shows. And then many of them had to do with 2012 and New Earth, and I think we've covered that pretty extensively.
Right.
Okay. But we don't claim to have all the answers, but these are the things we have found anyway.
Well, it's easy to forget. We get caught up in our day-to-day lives and in this level, this plane, and our relationships and how we take care of other people and how people appear to be helpless and how people appear to be. And we forget that they're all, I like to say, big grown-up souls.
Yeah,
we forget that.
They're not babies.
No, they're big grown-up souls, and they have things that they're doing. They have paths that they're walking. They know very well on that level what they're doing. And we have to trust that everything is in divine order and they are doing their role and they're what they wanted to do to their best ability. Each person is living their own soul path. So the only one you can really, really be concerned with is you. Because that's the only one you can do anything about.
But none of this is ever done consciously. because when they come into the life, then everything is erased, and the veil comes down, as we're saying, the veil is thinning.
Right.
But the veil comes down, and we forget what our path was, what our plan was that we chose for this life. Because they've told me, if you knew why you came in, if you knew why you were here, that it wouldn't be a test if you knew all the answers.
Right, and you might turn and run if you if you knew everything and what was going to happen. And
that's what I signed on for.
Sometimes I ask that every day. What was I thinking? I must have thought a lot of myself to do this, pile this on.
So we can't blame anybody else anyway. But we don't know these things consciously, but after we die, then it all becomes very clear.
Right.
So that's the thing. Don't judge. Just realize these souls have done these things. And I have so many clients that come in and talk about their terrible childhood. Mm-hmm. And how awful their parents treated them and everything. And then when we have the session and I ask the subconscious part that we communicate with, why did they choose that? I mean, why did they have to experience that? They always say they chose it.
Right.
And I said, why in the world would they choose a life like that? Mm-hmm. And it's always for the specific reason.
Right, exactly. And usually one of the number one things is to grow.
To grow,
to learn.
To learn, and one said it was to survive.
Right.
Uh-huh. And to...
You're developing skills. Your skill set. You have to go through experiences to develop skill sets.
But a lot of people don't learn.
That's your choice.
I've had them adults coming in still hanging on to something that was done when they were a child. Then they haven't understood. It was to teach them survival skills. It was teach them how to grow. But they forget it when they come in, and they're letting it destroy their life.
Right. It's really easy on this plane. That's your one of your biggest challenges is to keep your perspective. What's going on? It's so easy to get caught up in all the drama going on.
And it is drama.
Yep, this is the drama plane.
It's just a play. It's just an illusion. Playing parts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have to talk to people when I'm doing my sessions is, what did you learn from that?
Right.
You learned something, then let it go. It's time to move on. If you stay stuck in that, then you're stuck in a rut.
Right.
You're not learning anything. Okay, well, maybe that hit some buttons out there. Maybe some people might call in. They may not agree with us, but that's okay. Here's another one. It has to do with ETs.
ETs.
They want to know, how do the ETs feel about animals? And are animals advanced souls in their opinion?
In the ETs' opinion?
Yeah.
Hmm. Have you asked them this? Let me see if I can get an answer.
I don't think they consider any of us on this plane advanced souls. Very few of us, anyway.
Oh, no, that's not a correct statement.
Well.
No, there are, you know, when I asked, can I get an answer, I just felt intense love. So, I think they just love beings. They just love. They love everything. They love everyone.
I know.
Oh, yeah, it's real intense love. Okay.
Because that's what we have found. I've not found any negativity in the ETs at all, and I've been doing this over 25 years. Never once found a negative experience. But the animals are just creatures, and they know they have souls. Mm-hmm. They are more familiar with all of this than we could ever be.
Well, they know more what's going on. Like you've said, they can see through dimensions, and they're just true. You know, they don't put on any airs, and they don't sit there. I wonder sometimes if they think about anything, you know, about their body and about their, you know, they don't, if they do introspective things, I have no idea. But but they're just beautiful souls that I think are there to show us how to just be genuine. And because they're just unconditional love.
And they've told us we're the only planet where the people forget when they come in. They forget their mission. They forget their plan. they forget they come from God. And they said they don't. They remember everything.
You mean the ETs?
The ETs,
yes.
Don't.
Right.
They remember their mission. They remember why they're here, and they know they come direct from God,
right,
which they call the source. But they said, we forget all of these things when we come in. We're the only planet where it's erased. Then we have to stumble our way back. So they are looking at us and wondering what we're thinking. What are we doing? So the animals, to them, would just be creatures. I don't think they consider them advanced souls. They're souls having a different experience.
I think they just see them for what they are. Many of our animals, especially our pets, are our guides and things like that. So I think they can actually see them for what they are. You know, it doesn't seem to be... the feeling I have is that they have love for them, but it's like it's a love for a being, that kind of thing.
Because they know it's a soul having an experience.
Right.
Just in an animal body instead
exactly.
of a human body.
Yeah.
So I don't see them, they said, are animals advanced souls in their opinion. I don't think they're any more advanced than anybody
else.
Well,
we don't know that. You've never asked that question of them, have you?
Not really.
Because they're asking, are they in their opinion? We don't know their opinion.
No.
And, you know.
But I know they represent themselves as animals many times. So they must feel close to them and identify with them, because we've had many cases when people would see an animal, especially an owl.
Right.
Debbie
and
from New York.
In disguise. And also they would see deer in the woods, and they would be an ET in disguise.
Oh, okay.
So they're using animals.
Well, cool, then I got bunch down by my house.
Well, they're using it. So
I could have a lot around my house.
So they must be close to them if they are identifying with them.
Right.
Okay, we got a caller?
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It's so nice to have you live.
Yeah, we've been traveling a lot.
I know.
What is your name?
My name's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
On March 27th, the second wave of energy since 1221 was supposed to arrive. And with this influx, we were supposed to start remembering who we were and where we came from. And my question is, how come I'm still not feeling anything? Everybody's talking about all this energy they're feeling, and I'm not feeling it. And I feel like I'm in the light, I'm doing the right thing, I'm meditating, but I'm still not feeling anything.
Yeah, don't put that pressure on you. Actually, I've seen several dates being all over the internet, and the 31st is supposed to be, is what I was seeing as the date. So,
I was wondering, where did that information come from?
I don't know who is the actual source of it, but I'm seeing all kinds of dates, but... Yeah, it's like something was going on with the full moon, and then something with the 31st, because they've done, it's like actually the 31st, when you do it numerologically and astrologically, it's a whole bunch of 11s all over the place. And so it's like that's some major gateway or portal or something. So whenever I see these things, I'm just always like, well, we'll just see, because so many dates come and go. And I think that's too much pressure to try and put something on a definite timeline, because all of this is so much up to us, you know? So,
okay.
Yeah, I would say just do you, and don't put pressure, don't should on yourself. I love that saying, don't should, like, I should be here now. I should be developing to this point now. I should have this. Don't should on yourself. Just
that's what that sounds like.
That was the idea. So just be you. And just feel. Oh, that's them talking here, okay? Just feel. And things will start shifting for you, and it will be your way.
But see, the main thing is you know about this, and you're aware of it. So you're probably developing more than you think you are.
Exactly.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Don't put pressure on yourself.
Yeah, thank you so
much,
Dave.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, because if you're aware of something is supposed to happen, if something's going on, well, then you're out of the pack anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, another caller. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello. It's so nice to talk to you. I'm a huge fan of your books. I'm on book number 3 of Convoluted Universe, and so far I haven't noticed that you've had any negative encounters through the work you've been doing. Have you ever had that and you've not included it in your books or anything? I have a specific reason why I ask.
What she's asking is
haven't had any what?
Yeah, she's not noticed that you've ever had any negative encounters. Is it?
No.
Are you getting them and leaving them out of the books, or are you just not getting them?
I'm just not getting them because I've worked on this for over 25 years with the UFOs and ETs, and I just don't get them.
And she's in the Convoluted Book 3.
Yeah.
So it's coming out.
I don't remember what I'm all in there because
Convoluted 3 is talking about the split, and you probably had some of the volunteers. You had some of that information coming in the new one.
Yeah, but then more of it was in the later book.
Right.
But no, in The Custodians, if you've read that book, that was direct communication with the ETs. And there are councils out there that are over everything. There's rules and regulations that they have to abide by. And they're not allowed to harm another human being. And if any of these people have these horror stories, I always say, well, tell me the whole experience and I can explain it. Because it's always their interpretation of what it is that's negative. But it's not that at all when you see the bigger picture.
Right, and you always have emotions in there that filter, you know, that cloud it.
Color it and distort it.
So she's saying she has a reason she's asking. Did you have an experience? Or?
Oh, yeah, well, no, not me specifically with that, but there's another radio program that I listen to, and he has two gals that he works with, and they channel all this information. And he said the last week that if it ever happens that they come down and the big alien thing happens, run the other direction because they're evil. And I thought, what a thing to say.
I think I know who you're talking about. We won't name names, but
that's why I didn't. But
yeah, what I was when I heard that before, what I got was, you always follow your guidance. One, they won't. I don't think they're going to do that.
No, they're not going to come and land anyway.
And I know there's a lot of that on the internet.
Could
right
if they
now,
wanted
too.
To.
Yeah. Pardon?
I said they would have if they could. You know, they would have already probably.
They can do it, but there's like she said, they have these rules and regulations, and they're not allowed to. So because they can't interfere. And that would be interference, come in and just land, you know. So.
That's what they said. We have to, the only planet in the universe with free will, we have to let the people do what they want to do. And the Star Trek directive of non-interference is very, very real. They cannot interfere with the civilization once it has begun. So they just, it can't. Mm-hmm. And I had something else here. Maybe it'll come back in a minute. But they can't interfere with us. All they can do is watch. That's why some of them are called the Watchers.
And that's why they, you know, like they're cloaked and they're whatever. They're here, but it's where, like, ones that are ready to see them. In fact, I got the message from them. We are ready to be seen by those who are ready to see us. So it's not going to be this mass thing until the masses get to that level of perspective and understanding and can see them, because, I mean, they've been here the whole time.
But see, you got to remember, there are organizations out there who are planting disinformation and misinformation into people to create fear.
Yes.
If they can create fear, well, then, yeah, naturally, they can control you. That's why we say don't buy into anything that is about fear.
Yeah, fear holds you to this 3D plane. And so that's, if you want to say somebody has a motive, you know, if they're, we don't get into the conspiracy stuff, but if there is anything out there where they're trying to keep people from waking up and shifting and da-da-da-da-da, that would be, like, the biggest thing that could be done is keep people in fear, and they are held to the 3D. You cannot go to 5D if you with 1 foot in fear. It will not happen. It cannot happen.
Here again, we're the only planet that has fear.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a very strong emotion. He said if somebody doesn't understand something, they're going to bring in fear.
Right. And so that's where you have to look at everything yourself. And you have to, this was a lesson that was taught to me about 10 years ago. And it was like, it was very, very important that I understand and recognize fear. It has many, many faces. And it can be so subtle. And it's like, it's tricky. And so it's really, it was like, that was very, very important. So it, now it's like a game to recognize it. And it comes in so many shapes and sizes. So that might be something for you to do. In fact, that's what they're telling me. That's why that happened, and that's why you're questioning it, is because that's something you need to know.
How to discriminate.
Exactly, to discern. You need to know and be able to recognize it when it happens, because I think there may be more of this. Where, I mean, as we grow and develop, that part that wants to create fear, I mean, we can say it's something negative, but we don't say that. It's just like the last, you know, like the 3D world trying to hold on kind of thing.
How to keep you from developing.
And so that's where you just recognize it for what it is and look it in the face and then just say, you know, no, fear isn't real. And then once you look at it and know it's not real, it will dissipate. You'll be able to see right through it and see it for what it actually is.
See, this one you were listening to, if you listen to what they're saying, it is a lot of fear, isn't it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay,
so that's why...
Just be discerning.
I always tell people, ask lots and lots of questions, and then make up your own mind as to whether you want to believe it or not, but don't, you know, buy it all. Just ask lots of questions, and if it doesn't feel right to you, well, then...
Run the other direction.
You run the other direction.
Some people go to that point because of a feeling of you need to be aware, you need to know these things. And it's like there's this fine line in you need to know. And it's like if you don't know this, then you're going to somehow not survive or something. I don't know. And so that's where you have to look at that. And, you know, you really don't have, you just have to live. In fact, as I was walking into the house earlier, I was walking in here, and they were telling me this message, and I thought, well, I thought I was going to say it at another point, but they're telling me to say it now. And it's, we have to live from a feeling point. All of this has to be done from a feeling point. Okay. You have to get out of the head, you have to get to the feeling, and that's how you live everything. So you don't have to know this stuff just to know it, you know, and be aware. That's a head thing. You have to feel, and your feeler will tell you exactly what you need to know.
Well, in one of my books, they said, why do they always say, this is ETs, they said, this, why are they always saying we're here to take over the world? They said, it's ours, it always has been. And if you've read my other books, you know what I mean, that they have created us. But it's ours, it always has been. And they said, we can't do anything as bad to you as you do to yourself.
Oh,
that kind of helped put it into perspective?
yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your time.
That's okay. Everybody has questions, and probably somebody else out there always thinking the same thing.
Absolutely.
Because
right.
I go to every UFO conference
so
in the world, and I have a lot of these negative speakers, and I don't agree with them.
Right. You know, they have their
reasons. Well, good.
Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's what we keep saying. They've told us time and time again, fear is not real. Fear is an illusion. Fear is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
The only thing is real is love.
Right.
And if they only knew how much love these little beings have. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the questions that somebody sent in here was, how can we trust somebody who does not know what love is, who does not know the emotion, has no emotions whatsoever. Uh-huh. They're thinking of ETs, and uh-huh. I said, that's not true.
Right.
The thing is, we have such scattered emotions. They said, we have emotions, but not to the extreme that you have them.
Right.
They may have one or two emotions at one time. In fact, they said on some planets, jealousy is considered a disease. So they don't have all the emotions we have. I guess maybe they've overcome them or outgrown them. But they said on Earth, you can have love, hate, fear, sadness, grief, all at one following the other. And that's what confuses them. We just go jump from one emotion to the other, and it's very hard for them to understand and follow us. That's the difference. We experience more emotions more quickly, and you know that yourself. You can be jumping from one to the other, and you can be over by an emotion.
Right.
They don't. They have one at a time, and they've learned how to control it. But
right.
They definitely have emotions and love. Okay, we got somebody else. Hello.
Hi, it's Sharon. How are you?
Hi, Sharon.
What's your question?
I have a question. I was wondering, since the energy has shifted, and even before the energy, you know, shifted in December, can you experience old memories as if, you know, it's in the now?
Oh, good question.
Okay.
Yeah, what you're doing.
Trying to understand
what
you mean.
Can you experience old memories as in the now?
Yeah, because we are. We're having to rehash all this old stuff.
Well, and what it's doing, because it's showing us, because as these energies are shifting, it's breaking down the illusion of time. And so, yes, you will definitely, you very much can do that, because you lose that concept of time. It's just, are you finding that you don't really have a concept?
Yeah.
See, well, that...
Yeah,
that
like the person was right next to me. It was so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great, too, because it was a great memory, you know? So it was like it was happening again.
Wonderful. So it must have been something you needed to remember.
Oh,
you needed to remember that it was part of you.
Is that what you... Does that sound right?
Yeah, probably so. I didn't think of it that way, but
yeah, that's
it
what they're telling
really
me.
Really interesting.
You needed to remember. It was
a person or an event, or
I'm getting a was it a characteristic or something? There's something in there that was a gift for you. And it's coming from the heart. So the heart chakra is really opening here. So it's from the heart. So I don't know what, anyway.
does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Because, you know, I think we all experience that every once in a while. All of a sudden, something will come back that happened years ago. And it's like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And you're reliving it and seeing, feeling all the emotions and everything all over again.
Right. And it's either something that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you go ahead.
I was going to say, it's either something like this where it's needing to remind you of something, or it's a gift for you, or I think in every case it's trying to remind you. It's something that's coming up that needs to be either put to rest, or it's to stir something up inside of you again, to refresh something. It's got a reason. So ask it what it wants to tell you, because it came up for a reason.
Okay, you can do that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
It's really interesting because it makes you sense that there is no time and space. You know, it's all around you.
Yeah. And see, where people say, I don't see anything happening, see, that's kind of hard to, you know, it's something so abstract that it's hard to explain to somebody. How would you describe that to someone? Hello? That would be hard to
explain. You stumped me.
It's an abstract concept.
So, absolutely. Well, okay. You know, everybody, and I think, too, that people may not think that anything's happening, but it really is. But, you know, it's just...
it's very subtle. And that's why.
Yes, it is. That's the word. Thank you.
it's not big and dramatic.
Thing.
It's just very subtle and gradual.
And you really have to... Yeah, you have to get to a place. What I find the best way to get people to see it is to look back, like 5 years, even a few years you can do it, but let's go 5 or 10 years, and it's really obvious. So, you're just growing, and you're going on day by day, and it's all subtle, you're changing, and we're all changing. So it looks like nothing's happening, but we are. It's all happening, we're all changing. And so if you look back and go, oh, yeah, we're all very different than 10 years ago, how humanity did things, how the masses. You can see how the masses are shifting, you know, and that
exactly.
People have to admit that when they do it that
true.
Way. If you look back that far, you have to admit it.
But even in your own life, you can see how much you've changed and your life has changed even in 5 years, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of am a little hard on myself because I was really open in the 90s. You know, I had all this stuff happening, and I kind of was clueless. But I had so much going on in my life, I can't really criticize myself for not realizing at that point, you know?
Yeah.
So, and not taking advantage of that when it was, you know, wide open. So I'm having to relearn everything.
There's back on that. I should have done this. When the, don't shit on yourself.
I've been kind of frustrated with myself, and I think that's what, you know, that's been my difficulty is when you're frustrated with yourself, you start manifesting that.
Absolutely.
And wow, that's, you know, you really got to monitor yourself.
You do, and that's what we have, that's what's got to be taught out there, because, and seeing as you do that for yourself, that affects the whole world around you, as you're teaching everybody, as you watch your thoughts and everything you do, because all your thoughts create, and that was perfect. When you're frustrated with yourself, your whole world reflects it. It'll reflect that frustration.
Yeah.
It'll bring in all these things, reinforcing frustration. So,
everything is energy.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful lesson you just taught everybody.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I have created a network for people online to connect, you know, and just kind of try to help each other out that are going through a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is on your own. You know, it's difficult, but when in a group, it's a lot easier. So,
right, with support, helps each other recognize what's going on.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you for answering my question. How wonderful! Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter, and thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye. Yep, it does make sense. So there's another caller. Okay, they're lining up.
Uh-huh,
okay,
that's wonderful. We're live. The word got
we're
out.
We're live. Yeah, that's what they said. We're not recorded.
Not Memorex tonight.
They just hung up. I guess they were.
Oh, okay. They hung up. Okay.
Did we scare them off or what?
No, they'll call back. The Dolores and Julia Comedy Hour. They couldn't hack it. No. We don't bite people.
No, because those are interesting questions, and I think they're they're things people need to think about.
Well, they are very pertinent for what's happening, because people get caught up in that and like, oh my God, that's the part that you think you're going crazy, you know. And I wish I would have done this, and I wish I understood this, and I wish. And it's like we're really hard on ourselves, you know. So just relax and let it happen. Allow everything. You're in the right place. You're doing everything exactly right. So if you were enlightened back here and then you went through it, but you didn't know what to do with it, that's okay. That's how you wanted it to be. So you got that stuff back there, and then you went through a part where you're processing it, and then now it kind of all comes together. And so you're going to go through another growth spurt, and then you'll probably go into something else later. That's fine. It's how you want to do it. And no two people are going to do this the same.
Some may jump ahead a few grades, and some may have to take a grade over again.
Right.
But you, I had a thought there, but it'll come back again. I hate that when I'm going along and I lose these thoughts. They said they fall through the hole in my brain.
It's flying out the window. I see it.
Okay. But, they all are where they're supposed to be. That's what it was. Once you've learned anything, you can't unlearn it.
Right.
It stays in your mind. You can't ever go back to the way you thought before you were exposed to that idea or that information. You can't unlearn it.
Right.
Then you can use it or forget, you know, push it back or whatever, but you're always being exposed to new thoughts and new ideas and new information all the time.
Right, for your experience.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look through some of these here. Okay. This one is a little strange, but then sometimes, you know, I figure if they ask it, they must have a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about the new earth and the bodies and all of that.
Right.
And that's sometimes I think maybe we're not clear and they get a different idea.
Mm-hmm.
She says, she's talking about an article that I wrote.
Okay.
But, you know, they're getting me from everywhere.
I'm looking to see when that was sent in. Oh, that's been a while back. Okay.
Yes, a couple of years back. In your article, you said that we will enter into the new earth in our physical bodies, but eventually we'll turn into beings made of light. And that the earth is in the process of physically changing as well. See, that goes back before all that. But yeah, that we will eventually turn into light bodies.
Right, eventually.
But we won't need the body.
Well, that's as the
it's
whole
evolution.
Vibration just gets lighter and lighter and lighter.
It's an evolution.
Right.
My question is, what if I die in the middle of my personal transformation and earth finishes transforming into the new earth? Where would my soul then go if I were not ready for the new earth and the old earth no longer existed?
Oh, no!
I'm lost in limbo.
Lost in space.
That old movie, I'm lost in limbo.
Oh, my goodness. Your big grown-up soul knows exactly what it's doing.
It's not going to be lost in between worlds.
Yeah, your soul, you can never be lost.
They will go to the spirit side. That's where you'll go. If you die and you go to the spirit side and decide where you come back to.
Yeah, and then you go to wherever after that. So.
It's not that complicated.
And we have a caller?
Yeah, we got one. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. My name is Bessie. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. And I just wanted to call and say hi and to let you know that I think Dolores is just the cat's meow. I'm so glad I've discovered her and her book.
The cat's meow.
The cat's meow. Wow. I've been called a lot of things, but I've not been called that. Okay.
Well, I started out with your Convoluted Universe book 4, and then I read the 3 ways. I've kind of working my way backwards.
On backwards,
and then, right now I'm on book 3. And I read also Jesus at the Essenes, and the books are fascinating. All the information resonates with me. I'm just so excited that I've discovered all this information.
Yeah, people keep saying they just found me, and it has to do with the Internet. But I haven't been hiding. I've been doing this work for 45 years.
Yes,
probably older than you are, I'll bet.
Well, I'm 54, but I did discover you on YouTube, and so that's how I discovered you. And then I went to your website and then started getting your books. So, again, I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you and the work you're doing. And that's all.
You have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I just enjoy reading the books and listening to your Metaphysical Hour on Friday.
Okay.
I'm just taking all the information in and just learning all about it, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. I really hope it's opening you up to explore and learn.
Absolutely. And again, I do appreciate your work and appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Made my day.
Okay.
Now, where were we?
I think you were going to another one here.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of them here. But that one we were talking about, if they die in the middle of when the two Earths are splitting and changing.
Yeah, that just means you didn't want to go to the new Earth.
Some of them say, I want to just stand back and watch it all happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, I mean, we're already here. Anyway. Okay. That's my little soapbox. We're already here, everybody. We're already on the new Earth.
Yeah.
So
it's just so gradual that you don't even know it's happening.
Right. And just believe it. Just believe it, and you'll really start seeing the evidence of it.
And according to that woman's question, you won't be lost. Whenever you die, in any way, you go to the spirit side. So you're not going to be caught between two Earths.
Exactly.
It's a whole big universe out there, and the spirit side is a really tremendously big dimension.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to define it on 3D terms, and it can't be.
No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, here's one. Said, I've read and listened to your books, but you've not touched on the subject of people who are born with defects. Now, I have touched on that. They probably just didn't hear it.
Right.
This is 2011, this one. I've been accumulating some of these. It's also covered in my book, Between Death and Life.
Right.
We talk about defects. He said, I have a son with Down syndrome. What would be the purpose for that? The people who raise him? And will he go to the new Earth when it happens? Is there karma for me, the mother? Well, I've addressed people with defects many, many times.
Right.
Remember, everything is a choice. Nothing is an accident. And you choose to have a body like that. And in many of my lectures and my classes, we have covered this. They've told me there are more souls in line for the handicapped bodies than for the normal bodies. Because look at what you learn. You can pay back as much karma in one lifetime, it would take you normally 10 lifetimes to pay back. You just do it in a condensed form with a handicapped body. Because look what you are learning, look what you are teaching the people who take care of you, like they're talking here about the mother, and look what you're teaching everybody who sees you. You're teaching everyone tremendous lessons while you learn, and people look at you and think you're nothing, but you are really contributing a lot.
Right. Remember, again, that's a big grown-up soul.
Yeah, and it shows that to pay back tons of karma, and it gets rid of it real fast. And it's doing it for a reason, and everybody around it and associated with it are all learning something from that person. I know when I see someone in a wheelchair or someone with a retarded child, I always think, you picked a hard one this time, didn't you? So you have to remember that. They chose it, and that's a soul in that body. Even the ones I think that appear to be vegetables, there's a soul in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've chose that for whatever reason.
Yeah, that one. That would be hard for me, because that would be like a claustrophobic situation to me, thinking about it. But yes, everybody chooses their situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what the big plan was there. You know, that's why you can't look at it from this level at all. You have to look at it from this higher level,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, see the full picture.
There was a woman I knew several years ago when I was just starting out into all of this, and she had a boy who was like a vegetable. He was in he should have been in a home, but she kept him at home, taking care of him, and it was very difficult. And at the time I met her, her boy was 18 years old, so it was getting to be very difficult. Her husband left her. I'm sorry, guys, but you guys usually check out when the going gets tough and the woman is left taking.
Remember, all of that was the choice, too. All of that was all the roles in that scenario were chosen.
Yeah.
For growth and experience.
So she was left with the whole load on her. But she showed me his picture, and she said, "Isn't he beautiful?" And he was a very handsome boy. And she said, "He is so intelligent." But I always wondered, why did she say that? Because to everybody else, he wasn't communicating. He was just lying in a bed, having to have everything done for him. But she said, "He's so intelligent, and he's so beautiful." But she'd been taking care of him all his life, and he was getting so big that it was very difficult to have to carry him and to move him. So finally, she had to give up and have him put into a care facility. And it was interesting that right after she did that, the boy died. So we could see there was definitely was a karmic relationship between those two.
Right.
And she had definitely done her work. And so when she finally let him out of her life, then there was no reason to be here anymore. And he went on. In those cases, I always think of what it says in the Bible, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because she was doing it without realizing it. And she's
doing it from a place of love.
Yeah. And she didn't run from her responsibilities. And then, now, after he died, then she was free to go on with whatever else she wanted to do. So we never know the reasons for these things. That's what's interesting about it.
Right. Now, another part to her question, she's asking, will he go to the new earth?
Well, it depends. He probably would have come back. This has been several years ago. He may have come back already.
I'm talking about this situation in this email.
Yeah. But yeah, because when he comes back, he would be rid of the...
That's not what I'm talking about. This email with the son with the Down syndrome, and she's wondering if he will go to the new earth.
Yeah, when it happens.
When it happens.
Oh, because he's alive now.
Yes.
I see what
yes.
you mean. I see what you mean. I'm sorry. Well, I think it'd be the same case as animals. People are always emailing me what are going to happen to the animals.
Well, it's a choice. It's all the souls that transition, it's their choice. Everybody shifting. They're big grown-up souls. Just because they're in a handicapped body does not mean they're any less grown up. So they are still making choices for themselves, even though it appears that they're totally dependent on you at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still making choices. And if they're here, guess what? They're already here. So
when if you do go into the shift,
mm-hmm.
If they choose to go, they will.
Right.
Doesn't matter if they are handicapped and don't know what's going on.
Right. One way you know if they're going to go is if they're here. If a lot of people are checking out right now, they don't want to go that route for whatever reason. It's okay. It's their choice. We are the ones that chose to be on the front of this roller coaster ride.
Mm.
We wanted to experience the shift. Some want to experience it as observers.
Mm.
That's entirely fine. They're on that side helping, maybe to give us even more energy from that side. I don't know. I can't even only imagine what's actually happening. Like you said, all these beings are watching and all. I mean, it's just a huge
well, they said
event.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Right.
Are we all watching?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to pull it off?
Right. Absolutely.
So it's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the universe.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Like you said, if there's 7 billion people on the Earth, there's 7 billion possible scenarios.
Yes, different Earth shifts. Absolutely.
For each one.
Do your own, and just do it the way you want it. Don't do it the way you think it should be done. Don't do it the way anybody else says it has to be done. Don't do it. Just do it your way. Come from that feeling place and enjoy the shift. You've already done it. It's already done. You already shifted. Now go feel it and go experience it. See it for what it is.
Because people are saying, what about my family, my husband, my children? Will they go?
If they're with you, then they did.
it's all an individual decision anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're coming to the time to sign off again.
That went really fast.
That did, because we had a lot of wonderful callers.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and we'll be back again live next week.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So everybody have a nice Easter. Enjoy being with your families or however you're going to celebrate it.
Right.
And hope spring is finally going to come for these states in the north where they've been buried in the snow all this time.
Right.
That maybe spring will finally spring. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening tonight. And good night, everybody.
Make it great.